Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Orpheum Theater. Well, I know how it is. It is the middle of the summer in the Mid-South. You might have gone to the Botanic Garden Farmers Market yesterday and come home with a big 5-pound bag of peaches. Perhaps you have hit one of our other great farmers markets on the weekends here, which seem to be springing up roughly one every few months during the summer, and gotten some great tomatoes, some zucchini, and you're sitting at home thinking, what am I going to do with all of this stuff? Well, we can help you. Kevin West is going to be at the Booksellers at Laurelwood this evening at 6, signing Saving the Season, A Cook's Guide to Home Canning, Pickling, and Preserving. And he is from rural Blount County in eastern Tennessee, attended Deep Springs and Experimental College in the White Mountains of California, and Sewanee, the University of the South. For 13 years, he was on staff at W Magazine with postings in New York, Paris, and Los Angeles, where he was West Coast editor and where he still lives. He runs the blog SavingTheSeason.com, which I encourage you to check out, writes about food, culture, and travel, and produces a retail collection of jams and marmalades, and is certified as a master food preserver by the University of California Cooperative Extension. And he has joined me today. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Well, I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is a fun book. My wife is constantly accusing me of reading cookbooks like novels, but in this case, that was very much possible. Let's sort of begin at the beginning, and you've been into food for quite a while. What got you into the idea of preserving and canning and as we say, saving the season?
Well, my grandparents were farmers in East Tennessee, and I spent a lot of time at the farm when I was growing up, and I learned to eat well at an early age, and what that meant basically was just eating whatever was fresh in the garden. Gran was not a sophisticated cook, but she was a real good country cook, lots of fresh food from the garden. And I started cooking dinner for my family when I was probably a teenager, and I'd always had this interest in food, but it really wasn't until about 2008, I guess, that I was at the farmer's market in Santa Monica, California, and it was a beautiful spring day, and I guess I got a little bit carried away because I saw a table full of strawberries, and I bought a whole flat of strawberries, which is, you know, maybe 10 pounds of strawberries.
Right.
And going back to the car, I thought, what am I going to do with all these? I had not made jam before, but I had in that moment such a clear memory of Gran strawberry jam. And I thought, well, I'll just make Gran strawberry jam. And she was gone by then, so I didn't have her recipe. And I just set out to do it, and it was a flop. It was really terrible. And the frustration of having such a clear image of what I wanted to do and falling so short of that frustration is what really sparked truly an obsession that led to the blog, which eventually led to the book, Saving the Season.
One of the things that is interesting about this is that if you go to a traditional canning cookbook, the Ball Blue Book or something like that, basically they are literally just recipes, do this, do this, do this, and you're done. And one of the things about this is you have obviously taken that as a starting point and gone beyond it. And one of the things that you say in this book is that it's not necessarily that you're preserving the taste of these fruits and vegetables as when they're ripe, but you can actually make them something different and something better, which I think is a very interesting point of view.
Well, that's right. I would start by saying, though, that I always tell everyone that good fruit makes good jam. So if you're going to make good preserves, you have to start with the best produce. There's a kind of misconception, I think, that the jam pot is where you put the rest of the fruit. You eat your fill of the good stuff, and then anything that's old or overripe or bruised, you know, make some jam out of it. The same thing with pickles or relishes. Like, that's the kind of leftovers. And I'd encourage people to really think about preserving the pick of the harvest. Having said that, though, you are right that in the book I'm really interested in trying to teach techniques, underlying techniques, so that people, understanding the logic of the recipe, understanding the safety requirements of the recipe, of the technique, in fact, can then vary it. So for pickle beets, for instance, I give maybe, I don't know, four or five different variations of pickle beets.
Right.
Because in the summertime, or whenever your beets come in where you live, you know they start to come in and you've got more beets than you can possibly use. And maybe you want some of them done one way and you want some more, you know, put up a different way. And I think that dealing with the glut is a theme that comes through in the book. I say that nature's bounty is abundant, but it's also fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what I mean by saving the season, is that something comes in, wild blackberries come in, And you can go out, if you're willing to brave the chiggers, you can go out and pick your fill for free. And they are so good. But they're only there for a week, maybe 10 days. And then the rest of the year, you don't have any wild blackberries. But if you preserve some wild blackberries, you can have blackberry jam for the rest of the year. You can capture and preserve that moment. You know, it's not just the food. It's also the moment and the story about going to pick blackberries with your family and with your kids and with your neighbors. And I say at some point in the book that the recipes are vehicles for the stories. So I'm interested in teaching people how to make something, but I also want to share some of my stories, and I want to hear other people's stories. We all have these family stories that we need to preserve and we need to pass along. And food is one way that we're able to share the story and the spirit of the story and the kind of, you know, abundance and love that is family and that we express through food.
Probably a lot of us, especially in this area, have memories of parents and grandparents who did can and grew big gardens and put up tons of produce every year for the winter. And I think that one thing that may intimidate some people from trying this is the idea that you have to spend all day and do, you know, a couple cases of jam or pickles or something like that. And that's one thing that you specifically avoid in that these recipes are, for the most part, for small batches.
And that is my number one advice for people, is to work with small batches. I certainly remember Gran putting up so many jars. She'd put up dozens of quarts of tomatoes or whatever it was. And she would go through bushels of produce. And so when I started to preserve, I had that in the back of my mind. And once I kind of got my legs under me and knew what I was doing, I thought, okay, well, I'm ready to really do it now. And I went out to the farmer's market, and I bought 20 pounds of cherries. Now, it was just me in the kitchen.
That's a lot of cherries.
And I didn't really know what I was doing. I thought I did, but I really didn't. And 20 pounds of cherries was pretty much a good way to ruin the weekend. And also the preserves were not that good. You know, it's just it's too much it was too much for me to handle. And well, it's not the right way to do it. The better way to do it is to just get a little bit of extra. You know, you're at the farmer's market or you're in the garden, and you know you're going to get something. You're going to get some zucchini to cook for dinner. But then get a few pounds extra and make some zucchini dill pickles out of that. You may be surprised, but zucchini make really delicious pickles. And, you know, 3 pounds of zucchini will give you a couple pints of pickles, and it won't take you any time at all. And, you know, a couple, 3 pints of pickles, you keep one for the cupboard, you give one away, and you open one to eat right now. I mean, we're not stocking a bomb shelter, you know. So we want a little bit of something that we can add to our dinner table. And if you preserve a little bit here and there over the course of the year, what you'll find is that you've always got something. You know, put up just a little bit of strawberries, because then later you're going to put up a little bit of peach jam. And then later you're going to put up a little bit of apple butter. And then maybe this winter, if you get ambitious, you might put up a little bit of marmalade. And that's enough to get you through the year.
Exactly. And we're not feeding a farm family through the winter when there is no fresh produce. Yeah. These are additions to our diet. They're not the sole part of the diet as they were in years past.
That's right. For some of us whose grandparents may have put up in a really big way, they probably had to put up to feed the family through the winter. My approach in this book is to be very mindful of that kind of work from the past, but also to be realistic about the fact that you know, that I'm doing it more for the pleasure of it, for the skill of it, and to have access to something that you can't buy at the supermarket, like that wild blackberry jam we were talking about.
I think it's interesting the way that you organize the book also. If you go and buy a regular canning cookbook, let's say, it will generally be organized according to what you're canning, organized by fruit and by vegetable. You have organized it by season, which I think is interesting. Why'd you do that?
Well, it's a good question. It wasn't exactly a purposeful decision at any point. When I set out to start doing this, it just seemed like that's the way it would naturally, the book would naturally need to be organized. To me, it doesn't make so much sense to have, if you went alphabetically, for example, you might have apples next to apricots.
Right.
Well, apricots in California, at least, come in, you know, in June. apples are more of a fall fruit. Mm-hmm. And there's just, to me, you would never really see them at the farmer's market together. You'd never see them in the orchard together at the same time. And so I was interested in the way that the farmer's market was, in addition to being a great source of locally grown food, it was also a way for us to be observant about the agricultural cycle, which is to say the changing of the seasons, the changing of the year. And to me, that is an important undercurrent, let's say, in the book. The book is a recipe book. There are 220 recipes, and right. I want you to learn how to do some things. But as part of that, you know, as we watch what's kind of what's available over the course of the year, I think it helps us be observant about the larger world in which we live. And to me, that's very gratifying. It's kind of a small thing, but it's a very meaningful thing.
We're talking with Kevin West. He'll be signing his book, Saving the Season, A Cook's Guide to Home Canning, Pickling, and Preserving, this evening at 6 at the Booksellers at Laurelwood. We've talked about the recipes, we've talked about the fruit and the organization. I think some of the most marvelous parts of this book are the extras, the road trips, the essays, the conversations with other cooks. How did you decide to work those things in?
I came to do this book not from the direction of the professional kitchen. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not a chef. Mm-hmm. I was never trained as a professional cook. I came to this from a career in magazines. So by training and by inclination, I ask questions. I like to take notes. I'm a reporter. I'm a reporter, and I'm also still affected by the liberal arts education I had all those years ago, and so. You know, I'm always kind of curious about. I want to get into books and do a little research and follow a trail just to see where it will lead me. And where it led me was in all of these unexpected directions. I mean, it's a cookbook that has a series of short essays about the history of still life painting.
Yeah, which I love, and poetry. Oh, there's poetry all through it, which is marvelous.
And well, let me say, it's not my poetry. I wasn't writing it, but it's true. I started to collect poetry from really across the ages, from the Romans all the way up through a poem that was given to me by a friend of mine, Dana Goodyear, who's a contemporary poet. She has two volumes of poetry. And what you find is that over the ages, poets and painters have been very interested in food. For example, Tolstoy in Anna mm-hmm. Karenina mm-hmm. writes this very beautiful scene about making jam. And what's happening is a kind of personal struggle between these two personalities who are a little bit at odds with each other, but it's all happening around a jam pot. And in fact, Tolstoy had a pretty good eye. He was really attentive to what the issue of debate was. In another example, there's a wonderful passage in Moby Dick where they're loading up the Pequod to go hunt the great white whale. They're going to be on the ocean for 3 years, far from any grocery store. And so they're stocking the ship with all of the necessaries for this long voyage. And that those necessaries include pickles. And I just love that. I, you know, reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to get that into the book. The book, in a way, is a sort of diary, let's say, of this journey of discovery that I went on when I set out to make strawberry jam, mm-hmm. like my grandmother's strawberry jam. And I wound up learning about the world in these really unexpected ways.
In the last few years especially, there has been much interest in cooking and eating locally and in artisan production of cheeses and beers and ciders and all of these other things. Is this sort of an outgrowth of that? Is this the next step in returning to our roots but looking at them from today?
Absolutely. This is part and parcel of that whole movement to be more considerate, I guess, more thoughtful and deliberate in our food choices. You know, my sense of it is that the preserving movement is also very closely tied to the farmers market movement that over the past couple of decades has grown so much. And now, you know, many cities, most cities even, have farmers markets. And I think that once you start shopping in a farmer's market and once you start to be excited about how good seasonal food is when you're buying it from the farmer himself or herself, once you get that enthusiasm, then your eyes start to open to the other possibilities. So if you're buying these wonderful peaches from the farmer, well, then you start to think, gosh, do I really want to buy some very high sugar commercial peach preserves at the grocery store, or would I rather take those beautiful peaches at their best, which are very inexpensive at this time of the year, mm-hmm. and make a little jam myself? So I think that there's a real close tie between the success of the farmers market movement and all of this kind of artisanal production that you're talking about.
The book is Saving the Season, A Cook's Guide to Home Canning, Pickling, and Preserving by Kevin West. He'll be signing it this evening at the booksellers at Laurelwood. Go pick up a copy and then go to the farmers market this weekend and load up. Kevin, my guest today, thanks so much for coming in.
It has been such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Check his website, savingtheseason.com. Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Orpheum Theater's 85th anniversary summer movie series showing Dirty Dancing tonight at 7, introduced by our own Khaki Walton, by the way. On Friday, C. Scott McCoy hosts Beyond the Screen with Indie Memphis at 6:30, followed by a double feature of Ghostbusters and Poltergeist. For more information, 525-3000 or orpheum-memphis.com.